This is the Losses Become Gains podcast, the podcast that talks about and normalizes the complexities of grief, life after loss, and all this entails. I'm your host, Tara Accardo. I'm a grief and transformational life coach, and I'm here to serve you guidance, tangible tools, and inspiration to help you cultivate a more meaningful, intentional, and beautiful life. A life where you'll discover gains from your losses and so much more. I'm so grateful you're here. Let's dive right in. Hey there, welcome back to the Losses Become Gains podcast. I'm your host, Tara Accardo. And today's episode came from this sentiment that I've heard from a lot of people. They've either messaged me this or commented on Instagram with some sentiment of feeling like they are moving backwards in their grief journey and that it's very stressful for them. And they're worried that there's, you know, something wrong with them or that they're grieving wrong, or worse yet, that this is going to be their permanent state and that they're not going to be able to get through it, so to speak, that this negativity will always haunt them and that this I'm moving backwards feeling will always be on their toes. And that's unsettling. That's kind of scary, right? Like, who wants to live that way? Does any of what I just said sound familiar or applicable to you? Because if so, this is what we're getting into today. This is what we're going to get to the bottom of. And we're going to talk about why this happens and ways that we can cope with this. But that being said, I think we need to start this episode off by saying one very important thing here. There is no such thing as moving backward in grief. What if I told you that that is not a thing? That's what I'm telling you today. That moving backwards is something society or whoever it is around us, maybe even ourselves, has essentially made up. And at no point does this type of thinking serve us. We're going to talk about that today too, because it is very hard to get out of this state of thinking like, oh my gosh, we're doing our grief wrong. I'm moving backwards. I hear you. This is easier said than done. But we want to recognize that grieving is, you've probably heard this, a unique and a very nonlinear process. And as something that comes and goes in terms of its intensity and is something that is truly so nonlinear, experiencing setbacks is a normal part of the journey. And I've had clients or, you know, people I coach or people on social media make the comment, as I said, like, you know, I need help because I feel like I'm moving backward in my grief. I had been feeling so much better the last couple of months, let's say, or weeks or days or whatever. But now I feel like I am just totally moving backwards with it. Like I am slipping into this state that is a little bit scary. I was doing so well, but now, you know, fill in the blank. Depending on the situation, I will then, you know, especially if this is someone I'm one-on-one coaching or is in my membership, I'll typically follow it up with asking something like, okay, well, tell me how you know you're moving backwards. Tell me what this feels like for you. And sometimes I will get a response of something like, well, I started feeling sad again, or, you know, I had all of this motivation, but I lost it now. Maybe like, you know, I don't know, I was doing so well, but lately I've just been so angry, or these feelings of longing I've been having have been so intense, or, you know, I've been on the verge of tears and I have no idea why. Maybe they say, you know, I'm just super overwhelmed and I just can't explain it. It could be a laundry list of things that I might hear, but from there, and, you know, not to get too into the weeds of what I do in coaching calls here, but, you know, typically we'll work together to get to the root of why they're feeling that way. So perhaps it's something that came up recently that is clearly connected to their loss. And then it's like, well, sure, that could have absolutely elicited some emotion in you. Maybe this is why you're feeling this way. And let's talk about that. But sometimes it's not that clear. It's not that predictable. Sometimes we really need to work together to understand what might have triggered something like this, what triggered these negative emotions. And sometimes that's not very black and white, right? But guess what? Sometimes there is no trigger. Sometimes it is just our grief, and that's it. This is what grief does. This is what grief is capable of. It is not predictable. It can show up when it wants, and it demands to be seen. And that is the nature of this beast. But we also don't have to live there. We don't have to live in that state. That can and inevitably will happen, but we don't need to fall into our circumstances and let them, those emotions, be the one in charge, because we are. And I will talk more about that in a bit, but I just want to make a few things painfully clear here. And let's kind of start the conversation here, because earlier when I was like, well, there really is no moving backwards in her grief, you might be like, please elaborate, Tara. Okay, because this is feeling very real for me. I validate that. I hear you. But let's talk about why this isn't really a thing. First, as I said before, and as you've likely heard, grief is not linear and it is not predictable. The emotions that you're noticing are not an indicator that you're moving backwards or that there is something tragically wrong with you. There's this huge misconception that grief needs to be in stages. That is what we've come to know of grief. And I think there's a lot of unlearning that society is doing here with that. And listen, kudos to Elizabeth Kubler-Ross for her work here. She's amazing. I respect the heck out of what she has done for grief and this grief space. And the five stages served a purpose at the time. And actually, I think there's seven now. And I'll be honest with you, I can't even remember what all seven are, like off the top of my head. But these stages, they were never intended to be so cut and dry. And sidebar, if you didn't know this about her book on death and dying, very famous book, she actually interviewed people that were on their deathbed, professionals who were serving patients, either dying or just ill, patients' families, etc. And the purpose was to give readers a better understanding of how imminent death affects us all. The five stages are ultimately what came out of it. But from my understanding, it was really never meant to be such a guidebook to coping with grief or something that we all needed to stick to so intently and be like, okay, you know, I'm out of the anger phase or, you know, whatever it is now. It doesn't work that way. We can feel all of the stages in one day, right? So not to be so dramatic to say, you know, let's throw that out the window, that concept, but for the purposes of this conversation, let's go ahead and do that, shall we? Okay. Because I even remember family members of mine asking, you know, had I found acceptance yet at one point? And I was like, I don't know. Like, what even is acceptance? I guess I'm sort of resigned to the fact that my parents and dog died all in about a year and a half. But how can I ever really be so accepting of that? I can't really. That's still hard to wrap my head around. And it's going to be for years, because there's going to be different situations and scenarios that come up in my life, be it big milestones or even just day-to-day stuff, where I'm going to continue to feel that pain. And that's not always going to feel very, I'm not going to always feel very accepting of that, right? Anger might come up 10 years down the line. So to say that we have to follow these stages so regimentedly, I know that's not a word, but I'm making it one, that's just not realistic. Right? So we have these big misconceptions that grief is somehow supposed to be in these stages, that it's predictable, that we should be making steady progress. And I want to almost interrupt myself here. I do believe progress is possible. But let me clarify. What I really mean here, and this is really where I put sort of my life coaching hat on, because when I talk about progress, it's not that I mean we're progressing past our grief and that it's no longer with us and that we're forgetting it and we're moving away from it. Like, we're just wearing it differently. That's all that really means. At least to me, that is how I view it. We wear our grief differently with time. We have a different relationship with it, and it means something different to us now. You know, with that kind of progress, that's where a deeper, more meaningful and vibrant life has the opportunity to show up for you. Real quick interruption here, and then we'll get back to this episode. If you are someone who is experiencing some form of loss and are trying to navigate the complexities of grief, which you likely are in some capacity if you've stumbled upon this podcast, then this message is for you. If you haven't heard about my intentional Life After Loss membership and community yet, this is truly something you need to check out. This membership is here to guide you into living a deeper, more meaningful, and full life after experiencing loss. Who doesn't want that, right? I created this membership because I know what it's like to navigate and cope with grief on a daily basis. I know how hard that can be, and I know the tools and support it takes to do this effectively. I've done the work myself, and I've coached people just like you to do the same. It comes down to having impactful, effective resources and tools at your disposal, having the right support around you from people who can understand and empathize with your grief, and having encouragement and inspiration around you consistently to not only elicit and spark change, but to keep it and keep the positive momentum going. Enrollment opens once a month for a limited time. Check out the details linked in the description, and I hope to see you in there. So, with that all being said, put aside any misconception that you're experiencing grief is supposed to be orderly or based on stages or steps. None of that is really accurate. So I want you to embrace the chaos here a little bit. It's not a straight line. It is a crazy, chaotic scribble that sadly, we just sort of have to embrace sometimes. We just do. It's part of the process. But there are ways to cope with this and ways to do this and to embrace the chaos. And I'll talk about some of that in a little bit. I don't want to just leave you hanging there. But the next point I want to make, and this is very, very important. Negative emotions aren't normal and you are not crazy. Let me be clear. The presence of a negative emotion does not mean that you're moving backwards. Emotions are caused by thoughts and predictions and experiences that we've had. We're designed as humans to have both positive and negative emotions. That is the human experience. And I talked about this actually in a previous episode recently, but you are having feelings because your thoughts are creating them for you based on what's currently happening in front of us, what has happened in our past. It's all this amalgamation of what we're here experiencing. That is a perfectly human thing to do. That doesn't mean that something has gone horribly wrong and you're going to be in the throes of that early acute grief again. It doesn't mean we're going to go back to day one of right after our loss happened, right? So take a deep breath and don't judge your negative emotions if they come up and automatically think that that means you're not doing something right, that you're not doing your grief right. There is no doing grief right, so to speak. But let me tell you, and if you haven't experienced this already, many, many people out there will try and tell you that you're doing something right or wrong based on their experiences and what they think is right or wrong, especially in grief. And I've talked about this previously in an episode. I'll just paraphrase this for a moment. I had a woman who worked with my mom once upon a time, who I really didn't know very well personally. And truthfully, I don't even know how well my mom really knew her. She's a bit of an older individual, very different generation. I think it's she had very different views on how to cope with grief and how to handle grief. And amongst many things she said to me, she accused me of trying to monetize my grief and like take advantage of my parents' deaths by now offering grief coaching and the things that I do, which honestly not only angered me, but it made me more sad than anything because I was like, you are totally missing the point of what I'm trying to do here. Real quick interruption here, and then we'll get back to this episode. If you're someone who is experiencing some form of loss and are trying to navigate the complexities of grief, which you likely are in some capacity if you've stumbled upon this podcast, then this message is for you. If you haven't heard about my intentional Life After Loss membership and community yet, this is truly something you need to check out. This membership is here to guide you into living a deeper, more meaningful, and full life after experiencing loss. Who doesn't want that? Right? I created this membership because I know what it's like to navigate and cope with grief on a daily basis. I know how hard that can be, and I know the tools and support it takes to do this effectively. I've done the work myself, and I've coached people just like you to do the same. I've found that it comes down to having impactful, effective resources and tools at your disposal, having the right support around you from people who can understand and empathize with your grief, and having encouragement and inspiration around you consistently to not only elicit and spark change, but to keep it and to keep the positive momentum going. Enrollment opens once a month for a limited time. Check out the details linked in the description, and I hope to see you in there. Enrollment opens once a month for a limited time. Check out the details linked in the Enrollment opens once a month for a limited time. Check out the details linked in the description, and I hope to see you in there. I'm trying to make some lemonade from lemons here. You know what I mean? Like, helping people, I love it. I find it cathartic. I've found that it helps me in my own grief journey to talk about it and to support people. She didn't see it that way. She, in fact, was kind of like, stop talking about it. Stop harping on it. Why can't you just be happy? Focus on your husband and your daughter. I mean, truly, really kind of offensive things. And it was, I say offensive because I was like, you're not even trying to get to know me. You're not asking me if I'm actually okay. You're just assuming. Just because I talk about grief a lot doesn't mean that I'm in a horrible place in my life. I thankfully am in a beautiful place in my life. I miss my parents deeply. This is a way that I have found that helps, that I can now help and serve other people. Where are the wires getting crossed here, right? So all of that to say, after a lot of judgment and unsolicited advice and opinions from this woman, you know, closed that door. I was like, okay, don't need that negativity in my life. But that's just a prime example of, you know, people imposing their opinions, that you never know when people are going to come out of the woodwork to express how they feel that you should be doing something. Maybe just because something has worked for them doesn't mean it's going to work for you or that it's applicable to us. And I think it's just a testament to why we all need to be so compassionate and understanding and curious about each other's grief journeys, and not to assume that, you know, just because this particular woman has seen some loss in her life that, you know, I'm going to handle it, or that I should handle it the same way that she has. And her way was burying it, I guess, and not facing it, not coping with it. And I just had to, you know, tell myself eventually, like, this is more of a reflection on her than it is on me, and we all need to stay in our own lanes. So, an important lesson, but again, just a testament to the fact that we should have grace for others, and hopefully others will have grace for us too. So, closing that chapter, the next important point that I want to make here is that your actions don't dictate your grief. I think this point is especially important to acknowledge. Where you are, or what you are or are not doing, doesn't dictate where you are in your grief. If you're not taking action in a particular area of your life, let's say, or you don't like the action that you're taking in a particular area of your life, it doesn't mean that you're going backwards here. I had a client where, for example, they felt really unmotivated to work out, to do much of anything in life. They didn't have a lot of energy. They just really lived a very one-dimensional existence, and they were really struggling with this. And this was something she felt really bad about. She didn't like this. She felt like there was something wrong with her. She felt like she was doing all the things wrong. And I was like, okay, well, let's take a step back. And when we talked through it, we determined the root of a lot of it was because of her grief and some unresolved things that she was dealing with, or actually wasn't dealing with around that. She just didn't even realize it. And that's okay. When we're sort of blinded by grief, or we don't even kind of realize it's grief sometimes, that's hard to navigate. And I said this in a previous episode, but it's like the same brain that's trying to cope with our grief is also the one that has to try and move us forward somehow. And that is really hard. But here, this client was feeling badly about herself and the things that she wasn't doing or wasn't taking action on. So whether it's your grief or whatever it is that's coming up for you, it might not even be grief, right? It's something we just have to check in with ourselves on a lot. Consider that perhaps you're not taking action because of how you're feeling and the why behind that. And what thoughts are in your brain are perhaps causing this lack of action. And what's really important as a next step is that we shift those thoughts accordingly. But it's, you know, again, important to remember, nothing has gone wrong here. There's nothing wrong with you. And this doesn't mean you're going backwards in your grief. This is perhaps just the grief at work in your life. And it's just something we have to cope with over and over and over. Because remember, thoughts cause feelings, feelings drive behaviors, and behaviors produce outcomes. We have the power to shift and change any and all of that. But what we don't want to do is to judge them and automatically assume that something has gone wrong. And I see this more times than I can count. And I always just want to reassure people, like, no, you're okay. This is a natural part of the process. And here's why. So next point here to kind of shift into the mindset piece of it. Let's say, for example, that this moving backwards idea was even a real legitimate thing, which it's not. But let's just pretend these negative thoughts that we're having strengthen the pathways in our brain that cause more negative thoughts. That is how this rumination process, and this is this vicious cycle that so many of us can get stuck in. If we get caught up thinking that we're moving backwards and what this means for us and get all in a tizzy about that, you might start to feel afraid, more anxious, doubtful, perhaps discouraged or a bit defeated. Totally valid. But how we feel fuels how we behave. So what can happen when we're feeling afraid, anxious, doubtful, discouraged, defeated? We probably second guess ourselves. We might judge ourselves. We start spending more time worrying about how we're doing it wrong, when in reality, we're not. Our brain looks for evidence of our thoughts. So then our brain starts looking for evidence of how we're moving backwards in this case, or how we're, you know, slipping a little bit. It's looking for that to be true. Our brain then starts showing us the data, because it's all about the data, that lines up with that thought. Literally trying to prove that this is true. This is how we can fall into this trap. It starts showing this apparent backward moving in our grief. So it kind of like convinces us like, oh, there's truth here. And subsequently blocks any evidence of forward movement or progress. Hopefully that makes sense. So hang with me. When we're feeling these negative emotions that we talked about before, we often close ourselves off from people or things around us or positive thoughts. So maybe this means you stop doing the grief work that you know you should be doing and you beat yourself up for that. We might stop, you know, again, working out or being as active as we should. We don't get outdoors. We start sleeping more. Perhaps we go out less. We socialize less, or we, you know, decline invitations from people. We contract instead of expanding. But if you've listened to any of my previous podcast episodes, I mention this pretty often, you'll know that I talk about this expansion and how important this is. Like, and also physically, literally putting our shoulders back, putting our arms out, and really embracing and feeling this expansion in all the ways, physical and mental. Because grief is very constricting, and rightfully so. We have to fight that a little bit though. And listen, I want to preface this. If you are earlier on in your relationship with your grief right now, this might not be the right time for you to hear this. So bear with me. But that's not true. I take that back. I think it's always good for all of us, wherever we are in our grief, to hear this. But all in due time, right? We have to give ourselves time to process all of this. But what we don't want to do is block ourselves from the life that we want and the life that we deserve because we believe this narrative in our head, this negative narrative. The moral of this story is I don't want you to believe this fallacy of I'm going backward in my grief. It is simply untrue. And when this does come up, because like I said, it likely will if it hasn't already, we can combat this with a loving and more supportive answer for ourselves. one that encompasses grace and patience with ourselves and with the process, but one that gives this untrue thought a run for its money a little bit. And it's one that allows you to stay present with yourself in your current life and what's in front of you, everything that's in front of you. One that has you being your own advocate and being kind to yourself, because that is really all there is. If our loved one has died, for example, maybe you're listening to this podcast because you have lost a loved one, and it's this type of loss that you're dealing with, ruminating and being unpresent with our reality, it's not going to bring them back, right? For example, when that pesky thought of moving backward rears its ugly head, we can instead say, this is grief, and grief is freaking hard, but I am still here, I'm still doing it, and I can do hard things. I am proud of myself for staying on track the best I can, and I acknowledge that this is an ebb in my grief. The flow will come. The flow is coming. I can figure this out too, and it will not overcome me. This idea of moving backwards is an optional story we tell ourselves. It's optional. You guys, we don't have to listen. And that is where choice in our grief comes into play. And I know it doesn't always sound and seem like we have a choice in our grief. And I want to be clear, sometimes we don't. We just feel what we feel, especially early on. I mean, once we get seasoned with our grief a little bit, once we get to know it, once we start to understand it, those choices, they do come. And in terms of coping with this, I will finish out this episode with some just high-level thoughts here. There are a lot of episodes on this podcast more about coping tools and all the good things. So I just want to leave you with a little encouragement and maybe some things to think about here today. Acknowledge and accept your emotions. Like we've talked about today, there's really no getting around them. And they are the type of thing that will not allow you to ignore them. They will just wait for you. That's it. So it is crucial to recognize and accept the wide range of emotions that you're experiencing, and knowing that you can feel happy and joyful one moment and then longing and pain the next. So embracing all of that, but also this includes any feelings of regression. Allow yourself the space and the grace to feel that without feeling judgment from others, but most importantly, from yourself, because that is truly all that matters at the end of the day. The second is to reflect on any triggers that you might have. I alluded to this earlier as well, but consider potential triggers or events that might have intensified your grief recently. And remember, some might be more obvious than others, but understanding these triggers can help you develop strategies to navigate them more effectively and to cope with them better in the moment when they do come. And also remember, things that can help us cope can also change over time. We might discover new strategies, better strategies. What might have worked for us at one point in our grief journey might not work for us now. Or there's new things that we need to try that could be even more effective and help us even more. So making sure we have patience with that process as well is also super important. And I just want to note here, in episode 15, we talk specifically about grief triggers, what they are, and how to cope and how to handle them. So definitely go check that out if you are struggling with this specifically. Again, that is episode 15. The third thing is to reevaluate your goals and priorities. Grief can absolutely prompt a reevaluation of your life goals and your priorities, and as it should, right? That's actually kind of a weirdly beautiful part of this growing process that we can experience after we go through a loss. But also, that can be uncomfortable at times. I totally get that too. This might even make us feel sort of further away from our loss at certain points, if that makes sense, like especially if we've lost a loved one. For example, me losing my parents. Sometimes this progress that I've been feeling, or like these days where I'm like, hey, I'm actually doing pretty well, I sometimes have guilt around that, or it makes me feel so much further away from them because it was almost like the deep grief, that agony that I first felt in my grief journey was connecting me to them, which, I mean, I guess upon reflection, in a very weird way, it was. But now I've shifted that a little bit. And I'm like, no, the work that I'm doing now, the mindset that I have now, that's where they would want me to be. And that connects me to them in new and beautiful and really powerful ways. But we need to allow ourselves to feel that. We need to open the doors and pave the way for that. But that progress, it can be a little scary. It's exciting, but it can perhaps feel like we're stepping into a new unknown. And for some of us, that's a little tough. So take some time to reassess what is important to you and consider making adjustments that align with your current emotional state, because that will inevitably change. That's a beautiful thing, as it should. And that is something to be embraced. And so I hope you remind yourself to do that today. Also, setting realistic expectations. I hope this goes without saying after today's episode, but just be realistic with yourself and your grief. If grieving is not a linear process, as we've been saying, setbacks are a natural part of this journey. I hate to say this is something we sort of just have to deal with and accept, but that's kind of the nature of this crazy thing we call grief. But that leads me to my next point. I hope you know this, and perhaps you hear this a lot, but please do take this into consideration and take it seriously. You do not have to do this alone. At Losses Become Gains specifically, I have one-on-one coaching in both grief coaching and transformational life coaching to help you with wherever you are in your journey. I have my intentional Life After Loss membership that serves you really impactful but easily digestible coping tools and resources on a monthly basis, alongside a monthly coaching and Q&A call and a support group that connects you with fellow grievers so we can uplift each other and help each other through this process. But listen, even if you don't get the support you might need through me, I encourage you to connect with friends, family, or a support group that feels right to you. But I think this is quickly worth mentioning. Sometimes we simply don't have friends and family that truly get it. Even if they've lost the same person, again, like I was saying in my example earlier, we all process and approach our grief differently. So all the more reason that finding the correct and the most relevant support for you is super important. Sharing your feelings with others who have experienced similar losses or hardships can provide really incredible comfort and understanding. Even if none of us can fix it, right? Even if it's not about fixing it, it's just for you to feel heard and supported and seen and validated in all of the great things. And this can help you more than you may realize until you get into it and give it a go. So I just want to leave you with that. Please know my inbox is always here for you. My DMs are always open to you. And that is all I have for you today. So I really hope you enjoyed today's episode and that this has maybe opened you up a bit to feeling more confident and understanding of your specific grief and your grief journey, whatever that currently is for you. If you found this episode helpful, I would truly appreciate it if you shared it with someone who could use it, or if you're so inclined to leave a rating or review on whatever platform you're tuning in on. I hope you have an amazing day, my friend, and I will see you in the next episode. I am sending you a huge thank you for tuning into today's episode, my friend. I'm so grateful you're here and for the steps you're taking to heal your heart, open your mind, fulfill your soul, learn, grow, and evolve, and move through this crazy thing called life in big, beautiful, impactful ways. Visit LossesBecomeGains.com for my blog, more coping tools, ways to work with me, and so much more. And be sure you're following along on Instagram and Facebook at Losses Become Gains Podcast. I love seeing new faces, meeting new people, hearing your stories, and supporting you however I can. Be sure to hit that subscribe button if you haven't already, and share this episode or this podcast with someone who could use it too. And remember to always keep asking yourself, how will I turn my losses into gains today? I'll catch you in the next episode.